him. Last week the bone china mug was his favourite. Now it appears only the hand-painted Portmerian is good enough. How can one man be so difficult over a mug? I should tell him to make his own tea, but he hasn't been in the best of mood since Anna at work was promoted over him a couple of weeks back. And I need him on side when I tell him how much Rosie's school holiday is going to set us back. At 16, I feel it's important she gets out and sees the world, and like me. Hopefully, Anthony will agree. I nervously wrap my long cardigan around me, pulling at it from either side. It cocoons me and acts as a comfort blanket, helping me remain composed. Snappy little crocodile, I mutter quietly enough to ensure he won't hear me. This flippant remark gives me strength somehow. I could think of much worse words than crocodile, but my mother brought me up to believe that if you don't have anything nice to say, then you shouldn't say anything at all. I transfer the tea into Anthony's other mug and count to 10 to calm my nerves. I smile as I re-enter the living room with his drink. "Here you go," I say, handing it to him. Some may think I should have poured it all down his crotch, but then he'd never agree to the school trip. His mood appears to improve as he looks at his phone. He then takes hold of his favourite mug. I watch him eagerly as he takes a sip. "Lovely," he says. "The man from Del Monte says yes," I think to myself. I breathe a sigh of relief when the living room door flies open. Rosie bounces in, easing the tension further. "Hello, ma'am, dad," says a cheery Rosie. Anthony smiles up at her as if nothing was wrong. He probably hoped she would sit beside him, but Rosie walks across to my armchair instead and places herself on the arm. The strawberry smell of her familiar shampoo wafts over me. "Gosh, is it 6 o'clock already? How is your after-school club?" I ask. "Great," says Rosie. She shifts about on the arm of my chair and whispers into my ear. "Did you tell Dad yet?" "No, not yet," I whisper back, feeling nervous at the thought. "We must tell Anthony about the trip to Kenya this evening. Hopefully he will realise how fortunate Rosie is to have been chosen to visit a conservation area after raising money to help save rhinos from poachers. He knows how much Rosie has always loved animals, ever since he brought home a stray kitten he found on the side of the road when she was a toddler. I notice Anthony glance at his phone again. 6 o'clock, he says to himself. "Yes, why?" "I'm only saying," he says. "Okay, well, food won't be long. I'm making your favourite," I say. "I'm not hungry," says Anthony. "But can't you smell the slow cooker, the delicious aroma of coq au vin?" I smile. "Martha, are you trying to get around me for something?" "What are you after?" says Anthony. Rosie and I look at each other uncomfortably. He could at least attempt to be a bit nicer in front of Rosie. "Well, I just wanted us all to sit down for dinner so we could tell you about Rosie's school trip. We need to pay the deposit tomorrow and the rest in a few weeks," I explain. Anthony explodes at this. I know he's never keen to part with money, but this is extremely out of character, even for him. Rosie has always been his little princess. Surely he can't deny her a trip like this. "You know we don't have any spare money. I should have had that promotion. I'm an excellent accountant, can't they see that?" He stares me in the face, as though I have the answer. It's as though he blames me for him being unsuccessful in his promotion. For a moment, I wonder how he can be the great accountant he claims to be when we don't appear to have any money. Surely he should have managed it a little better. I don't understand where it all goes. I curse myself. A 47-year-old woman letting her husband manage the finances. From now on, I'm going to make sure I know where every penny is going. "Look, I'm sorry you didn't get the promotion, but it's not our fault," I say. Anthony glares at me and storms out of the room. I try to stop him, but he rushes to put his shoes on and grabs his coat from the hallway. "I'm going out. I need some space. We can talk when I get back." The door slams shut, leaving me and Rosie bewildered. What on earth is wrong with him? These past